Some of the residents who lived near DuPont's West Virginia plant, the one that made C8 and polluted the town's drinking water, filed a class action lawsuit because of their exposure to the chemical. Cattle that grazed in the area died, and people had health problems. Reporter Sharon Lerner wrote about the lawsuit and many other aspects of C8 in an 11-part series for the online publication The Intercept. I reached her by phone and asked about the illnesses associated with C8 that started the chain reaction leading to the eventual phasing out of the chemical.
There is a panel of epidemiologists, people who study diseases in populations, and they were approved by both sides, so by DuPont, the plaintiff's attorneys, and they were tasked with figuring out what were the probable associations between exposure to C8 and disease. And they came up with 6: kidney cancer, testicular cancer, preeclampsia, high cholesterol, and thyroid disease. What they did was they looked at the population and saw that throughout the population, those who were exposed at higher rates had increases in these 6 diseases. Since then, and their final results came out in 2012, which was how it was set up by the lawsuit, that there are health issues connected to immunity is a big one, reproductive outcomes as well, and obesity, several things.
Yeah, you talked to one of the workers in, I believe it was the West Virginia plant, whose son ended up with birth defects, and she wondered if that was related to her time working with the C8 chemical.
Yeah. In that case, you know, it is unclear. That was the case of Sue Bailey, and her son Bucky Bailey had facial deformities, which were seen in some animal studies as well. So she had good reason to think that they might be related. And actually, the number of mothers who were pregnant when they were working in the Teflon division and had some birth defects was higher than it should have been. One of the main reasons I read about her, though, DuPont Company had this evidence and didn't share it with the EPA, which was why the agency sued the company. And it was, at the time, the agency's, you know, highest fine, the biggest fine that they had levied. And so it became the first kind of solid case of, hey, look, they have withheld important evidence about the harms of this chemical, or things that should have at least raised concern and been shared with the public.
Chemical companies are no longer producing C8 in the U.S., but now they're making something called C6, which is also known as Gen X. And some have called this a regrettable solution. Why?
I looked at the adverse incident reports, which was almost impossible to do because the identifying number that the EPA uses of Gen X was originally classified. Companies work really hard to make these things very hard to understand. It was very hard to understand, and it took quite a long time. I found that it had essentially the same constellation of health problems that were associated with C8, and that had been reported by DuPont, who was the original maker. So it's the same kind of things in lab animals, cancers, and they found effects on the liver and effects on the endocrine system as well.
I think what's so striking about your series is that there really is no way for residents near these facilities to protect themselves, or even the average consumer, to really know what they're being exposed to. It's surprising that the Environmental Protection Agency doesn't know very much about what chemical companies like DuPont are making and releasing into the environment.
Well, you know, in the case of C6, they actually did have that information. DuPont did file the adverse incident reports as they are required to by law. But what's interesting, the gap that I found wasn't that they didn't report it. It was that when they reported it, there was no clear course of action for the EPA. One would assume that they would take that information and act on it and say, hey, these are the same issues that we've seen with the other chemical. Let's do something about that. And instead, the agency that's supposed to be in charge of protecting the public from these kinds of dangers just file them away.
Are there other chemicals like C8 being produced and released in the environment that aren't regulated in the U.S.?
Like C8, if you mean perfluorinated chemicals?
Yes.
Yes, there are. So there are similarly persistent chemicals that perform some of the same functions and have some of the same problems that are not regulated. Yes, that's absolutely the case.
Well, we might not be surprised that people working and living near these chemical plants have high levels of these chemicals in their bodies, research has shown nearly all Americans have some levels. So how can we avoid exposure to them?
The big thing would be to not get stain-resistant coatings on things. Look into what's on your stain-resistant clothing or tents or outdoor gear, that kind of stuff. While it wouldn't be manufactured in the U.S. anymore with C8, could be coming from other countries with this stuff, and also could very well be manufactured within the United States with some of the replacements that are also thought to have some of the same health effects.
So I'm just curious, you know, what your thoughts were and what your takeaways were from what you learned.
One of the most upsetting things to me about this is how big it is. At every step, I could take a step back, and I did. I kept saying, wait, but there's more. It's like you pull the string and it keeps coming. You know, this is one particular chemical, and I went deep on this particular chemical and focused in really squarely on it. But C8 is only one type of perfluorinated chemical, and perfluorinated chemicals are only one small part of the toxic, you know, chemicals that are unregulated and affecting our health and that we're exposed to all the time. And the story of what happened with this was tellable because of all these sort of accidents of circumstance. You know, this person found out this and discovered that and told him, and, you know, this made this deadline and reached out to that attorney, and it became a story of chance, really. And when I think about all the things that did happen, but what I didn't write about is about all the things that didn't happen, the connections that haven't been made, the, you know, the chemicals that haven't had a panel of epidemiologists to pour over the evidence about them, and the evidence that doesn't exist, frankly, because, a huge case hasn't happened around them, and so we don't have people looking at them. And I think because of the way we do things here, they're out in the world way before we know what their effects are. So we have to do it backwards. We have to do it after the fact and look back. That's what this has left me with, and it is upsetting.
Sharon Lerner reported an 11-story series on the chemical C8 for The Intercept. There's a link at AlleghenyFront.org. It's worth the read.